What are we going to stimulate your mind with today? Well, if you like a title, then we'll call it The Power of Invitation. The Power of Invitation. And I'd like to explore why inviting people to church is one of the best things you'll ever do for another person, but why it also feels much harder than it should. And when I was preparing this message, because normally when I do a preaching slot, Martin gives me this free slot to do what I want. And then I was struggling for a while, and eventually God gave me this. This is what I want you to preach on. I thought, thanks for that. That's a nice, easy one to preach on today. So let's first consider how you ended up in church today. Okay, so for many of us, at some point in the near or distant or very distant past, you made a commitment to give your life to Jesus. For a good proportion of us, this would have been a result of parents bringing us to church while we were children. We then made a commitment. And there's plenty of our own children here today who've already made that commitment. Yeah? But how about people who weren't brought up in a household with church-going parents? That was my story. And I'm here today because around 20 years ago, Jen invited me to church. Thank you. And I'd expect for many people who are in the same position as me, it was the result of an invitation from a Christian that you started attending a church. I've done some digging around on this topic about why people first start attending a church, and here's a few. They see some positive messages on social media about that church. They listen to some of the preaching online about that church. They may be prompted by the Holy Spirit. They may want a Christian influence for their children. They may actually be having a bit of a crisis in their life at the time. Potentially for our church, our community activity may have been the reason to encourage people to come. These all seem sensible and valid reasons why you would first start attending a church. But the research suggests this makes up about 10% of the reasons why people attend. The other 90% is because they've been invited by a Christian friend. Now let's consider an example of an invitation from Jesus. So I want to look at Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22. Okay, let me just get to that. Okay, so Jesus is just starting his ministry, and he's starting to invite his disciples at this stage, the four fishermen. Okay, so Matthew 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So in this passage, Jesus invites the disciples to follow him. If you read the passage at face value, Jesus just turns up and says, follow me. And the disciples just do that. And for many years, I found this a bit strange, this passage. Why would these four fishermen just leave their livelihoods behind after such a brief interaction? And then I read a book called Jesus the Master by John Pollock. It's a biography about Jesus. And he helpfully gives some context that the four fishermen in this story were very likely to have already had interactions with both John the Baptist and Jesus prior to the encounter. John was preaching and Jesus had arrived. And it would have been causing in the community a real stir. So we don't have any scriptural evidence that these encounters actually happened. But that book suggested that is what would have happened. So when the invitation from Jesus came, the fishermen had understood who Jesus was. They knew who Jesus was. They knew he was the Messiah and immediately followed him. Now, I'm not saying Jesus' invitation to follow him is exactly the same as inviting someone to church, but it's not the same. But there are some things that are in parallel. Okay? The disciples responded to an invitation. They waited for Jesus to invite them to join him. Wasn't the other way around, yeah? And the disciples trusted the person who was doing the invitation. And I think that's really, really important. So ask yourself this question today. Are there people I want to invite to church? Hopefully that's yes. Hopefully that's yes. Now ask yourself this question. Does the friend I want to invite trust me? I think the answer to that is probably yes as well. Then ask another question. Does my friend want to come to church but hasn't because I haven't invited them yet? That's an interesting question for us all today, isn't it? I think we can be guilty of thinking that as we know everyone is welcome and you can just turn up whenever you like, that people who don't normally attend church will just come along. Okay? Because we know that it's visitors welcome, anyone can come anytime, it's absolutely fine. But is that really, in practice, what really happens? It's not, is it? Let's be honest, it's not. Do people invite themselves to your house, or do you invite them? I think actually in Britain, we find it a bit offensive when people invite themselves to our own house, don't we? We feel a bit affronted. You've invited yourself to our house, okay? But for some reason, we'd be fantastically blessed if suddenly our friend just turned up at church without being invited. We didn't have to go through the worry of actually inviting them. You know, it doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense. So I think we need to invite. Yeah, let's get in the shoes of a person who doesn't normally attend a church and decides to come to our church. Okay, they arrive in the car park. This doesn't look like a church from the outside. I wonder what it looks like inside. Is it better to be a bit early? Or should I just sneak in a bit late? Where do I sit? Where's the toilets if I need them? How long am I going to be here? Yeah, and think about all of these practical questions that somebody would have. And I think you can see why actually coming in those situations doesn't really happen. It just doesn't really happen. Walking into a brand new social circle where you are the outsider is scary. Okay, it's scary. Okay, it's scary. Having a single acquaintance in here will be some comfort. Having a trusted friend by your side goes a long way. Goes a long way. So, let's consider our local community. We feel the call to serve this community and meet the needs of those less fortunate than ourselves. And we're blessed with the opportunity to do that through all the community activity we do. But in the depths of our heart, we want people to know Jesus as we do and give their life to Jesus. That's what we really want for this community. That's what we really want. Inviting people to come to church isn't the only way they will take this journey. But we all know through our own experiences that being part of a loving church family anchors us when life takes us through stormy waters. Yeah, when life gets stormy, when life gets stormy for me, I need you. Yeah, and vice versa. You know, we need that. It's really, really important for us. So, the evidence shows invitation is key. Let's consider why it seems a good deal harder than it should. Okay. So I think we make inviting people to church a lot harder than it needs to be. Because I think we look back on our own experience and know that the decision to follow Jesus changed our lives forever. We know that because it does. This puts us in a place of thinking, I really want to get this right, my friend. I don't want to put them off by being too pushy. I want to get it right. We wait, and then we wait, and then maybe we wait a bit longer, and then maybe a bit longer. And how long are we going to wait? I think we try and control the process too much because we want to get it right. But in John 14, verse 27, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." In this question about when is a good time to invite a friend to church, this should be something that you've got peace in your heart about. It shouldn't be a source of anxiety and worry. Jesus promises peace. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. What a promise that gives us peace. This verse promises peace, not anxiety. Should lead into that peace that has been generously given. Trust God with the outcome. Trust God with outcomes, yeah? Trust God with outcomes around this. A bit more digging on this topic, and I found many reasons why people don't invite friends to church. I'm trusting that many of these don't actually apply to this church, okay? But let me share what I've read, okay? They wouldn't fit in. It's one of them. It's the pastor's job to invite people. Ooh. No one has challenged me to invite anybody. I have now. The worship's not great. The preaching's not great. Ouch. Some people in our church are unpredictable, which I think is put in brackets there. Weird, okay? It feels like a religious club with plenty of church language, ministry, anointing, fellowship, the blood of the Lamb, however many. We've got our own vocabulary, haven't we? Okay. They will see our church isn't perfect. Not sure perfection has ever actually been a requirement of a church, but they'll see it's not perfect. Okay, this is a good one. Maybe they'll be ignored by other people, or maybe they'll be swamped by other people. Oh, a visitor. I need to go talk to them. They get swamped. Extract their life story in 5 minutes. Okay. This one is interesting. I don't think about inviting anybody else. Okay. These are getting more lame as we go. I don't have any non-Christian friends. Okay. And this is the best one of all, the lamest reason for not inviting somebody to church. They work on a Sunday. They work on a Sunday is the reason why you're not inviting them. So, there's some reasons. How about this one? Okay, let's get a bit closer to home. I'm worried that that guy, Paul, gets up to talk about a picture he's seen, and then he explains what he thinks it means. Maybe my friend will think this is really weird. Then they'll think, I'm a bit weird for being part of this church. Better not risk inviting them. Paul might get up and say something really weird. I'm going to leave it for another week. So there are a few reasons, but let's get to a few more challenging ones, which I think are really at the heart of why it's sometimes a struggle. Okay, so three things I want to really, really focus in on. So first one, my worlds would collide. Okay, do we like having our Christian world and our non-Christian world, where we are Christians, but actually there's kind of like, there's kind of two parts of our life. Is our Christian life really 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, in every context that we actually do? Or do we perhaps behave in a different way with different people? Okay, and actually, just exploring that, you know, would that muddy the waters of that relationship? Because actually we act differently in that way. So my worlds would collide. Something for us to think about. Okay. Another one, which I think is a real challenge for us. I don't have all the answers. Okay. Maybe we avoid inviting people because we're worried about being asked lots of challenging questions. Okay. And so you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers either, and neither does anybody else. The only person who has all the answers to all the questions is God. Okay. That's the only person who has all the answers. Okay, it is a valid concern, and it's good reason for us to explore and know what we really think about challenging topics, yeah, that we may get asked about. But we should also trust in the strength of the friendship. If you have a strong friendship with somebody, you build a bond that's not easily broken by differing views on a particular issue. It just doesn't break. It doesn't break that bond. Okay, I think we need to trust the Holy Spirit to give us the right words to say, and reach out to others who can help answer these questions. And let's be honest, a life of faith is also about facing the fact that we don't have all the answers. And that's part of having faith. Yeah, you can't have all the answers. If you have all the answers, you don't need any faith. Yeah? I remember a situation many years ago. I was in a car with my boss. We were traveling from Chippenham to Bath, about half an hour. He started asking me questions about my faith. And in that, and I thought, oh, I've got him in a car for half an hour. Ha-ha. Okay. In that half an hour, we covered a lot of ground. I answered some pretty challenging questions. And a few weeks later, with no further interaction from me, he gave his life to Jesus. I remember that journey being one of the most exhilarating 30 minutes of my entire life. And as I spoke, it was like somebody else was giving the answers. And they were. It was just the Holy Spirit. I just couldn't believe the wisdom coming out of my mouth for half an hour. It's like, where did all this come from? We covered it. You can cover a lot of ground in half an hour. You'd be amazed. But you know what? When it comes to the challenging questions that people may ask about Christianity, I think the important thing to do here is let's get to the heart of the matter. I remember watching a film recently, The Case for Christ, and the guy who wrote the book, he starts out with just trying to prove basically that the case was rubbish, yeah? And he dug in and dug in, and he says, right, how he talked to a guy, he says, how do I disprove this, the case for Christ? And he said, it all rests on the death and resurrection of Jesus. If you can prove that that's not true, the whole thing falls down like a deck of cards, okay? But we know that it's not a deck of cards at all. It's the strongest foundation ever, okay? And if you're in a situation where you're being asked challenging questions about different aspects of Christian faith, you just got to bring it back to the cross. You've got to bring it back. You've got to bring it back to three things. Did Jesus live? Yes. Did Jesus die? Yes. Did he rise again? Yes. Okay? And if the answer to those things are yes, and the evidence is unbelievably overwhelming for something that happened 2,000 years ago, you then have to ask the question, why did that happen? And all those other things that your friend wants to talk about is just window dressing, actually. And that's what matters. Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. And what do you think about that for your life? Yeah, and it's about getting back to that. That is the central point. And everything else is just sideline. Yeah, that is the fundamental thing. And that's the fundamental thing that we believe. And if you get into a topic, you get into a conversation, just get it to there. Just get it to there and just think about those things. Now, trust God to give you answers to difficult questions. Yeah. Psalm 38, verse 15 gives us this declaration. For I hope in you, O Lord, you will answer, O Lord my God. Psalm 38, 15. Okay. Finally then, or the third thing I want to say, probably the most challenging reason why we don't invite somebody is that you worry they'll say no and it will damage the relationship. Let's get to the heart of it, yeah? We're worried that they'll say no. So, saying no to coming to our church doesn't actually mean they're saying no to you or your friendship, but I understand it's extremely hard to believe this in that moment, yeah? But in reality, their no is not going to negatively impact your life. It's not. It's not. Is it possible they say no? It certainly is. Will it damage your relationship? Possible. But how many people have received a short rejection that led to a damaged relationship from an invite to church, if we're honest with ourselves? Even from this position, isn't it possible to explore at a later date why your friend feels this way? If they've sharply rejected your invite, that suggests to me that they probably had some previously difficult experience, yeah? So can we explore that? But let's turn this question on its head. Let's stop worrying about no. Let's stop worrying about no. Let's turn it on its head. Consider for a brief moment, what if they say yes? What if they say yes? What if God has been preparing their heart and waiting for you to invite them? What if they're hurting and find emotional healing in church? What if they give their life to Christ and future generations are changed because of it? Yeah. They give their life to Christ and future generations are changed because of it. I was invited 20 years ago. Yeah. Future generations are being changed because of it. Yeah. Okay. Stood here having some sort of impact on you, hopefully. You know, we know this is possible, because we've seen it for ourselves. So this decision about inviting people, it's a battle inside your head. It really is. It's a battle inside your head. And which thoughts are going to win the battle? Do we really think the enemy wants your friend to come to our church? I don't think so. So, what thoughts are going to win the battle? Oh, my worlds would collide. I don't have all the answers. What if they say no? And it's going to be awkward and difficult. Or what if they say yes? Excitement of the yes. The excitement of the yes. And I think these couple of scriptures really help us with this today. So Romans 1 verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Okay? Your bit in all of this is to not be ashamed of the gospel, which I know you are not. Okay? And God's bit is the power bit. Yeah? So, you invite, because you're not ashamed of the gospel, God's power is doing the rest. The salvation of everyone who believes. And then another scripture I think that helps us as well, and should give us some encouragement, is in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Trust the power, spiritual power that's been put inside of you, okay, for this kind of moment. So, when is the right time to ask somebody to come to church? I think that is unique to each relationship, and there isn't a definitive answer, and that's the best you're going to get from me today on that topic, okay? I'm not going to say anything more useful than that. But I suspect for the majority of us, we're probably a bit cautious, waiting for a perceived better opportunity, okay? So I just encourage you today, you know, to think about those things. Think about that battle that's going on in your mind about when it's right. And truly believe that the people that you interact with and the friends that you have, they really, really trust you and they really value you. And that relationship and that bond is really, really strong. That bond is really, really strong. And that relationship is not going to suffer damage because of having this sort of conversation. Trust in yourself a bit more in that situation. Okay. If the worship team could come back up, that would be great. What I do is I want to finish wrap up with this scripture as a prayer for us all today. Okay, it's in Colossians 4. Verse 2-6. This is the prayer that I want us to declare today as we think about this topic. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That's my prayer for you today with this. Okay. Now, I want to give opportunity to actually the people to receive prayer today on the back of that message. I want to encourage you that if you actually, you know, I'm sure that as I've been talking about this, that you've probably got specific people in mind that you'd really like to invite, okay, and you've not quite know how to do it, or you haven't found the opportunity yet. And if you want some prayer about that, for encouragement, then please come out, and we'll get some of the team to pray. Also, if you feel like, you know, you recognise, I need to be a bit bolder in this situation. I know that, you know, this is the right thing to do. This is a good thing to do. But I need a bit more courage. And come out, get some prayer. Okay?